And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to Wednesday's 9 to noon show here in Highland Radio. It looks like this year's going to fly as well. We're already on Wednesday, the 8th of January, 2025. It's 9:05 and it's live from a very chilly, cold northwest of Ireland. We're not quite as bad as the rest of the country, but obviously the weather has disrupted things. If there's anything to tell you or keep you updated on, we'll let you know. If there's any questions that you believe other listeners can answer, get in touch with us and we'll send it out to the 9 till noon show family and we'll surely get an answer for you. Be careful if you're out on the roads. It's hit and miss. The roads seem clear, then you hit some black ice, then you hit some more obvious cold weather, and then it's clear again. I do notice this morning, and I'm not a guard or anything like that there, a lot of people tailgating very close to the car in front. It's intimidating. It's also bloody dangerous. Have your lights on, take time, and you'll get to where you're going. Don't worry about that. Right, the lines are open for you to engage with us in any which way you wish. If you want to WhatsApp or text the show, 086 60 25,000, feel free to send in your WhatsApp voice notes to that number as well if that suits you a little bit better. If you want to give us a call, the number there is 07491 25,000, and if email's your preference, then get in touch with us, comments@highlandradio.com. And if you want to watch the show, maybe you're at home on a snow day, who's to say, fire up the smart TV or your Fire Stick and go into YouTube and type in Highland Radio Ireland and you can watch the show and our guests on your TV there, or take us out and about with you on that app, or we're on Facebook as well. And just to let you know, there's lots of information on our Facebook page, on our Highland Radio News, Sport and Obituary Notices page. You'll get all the latest closures that we have. Of course, early part of the day, it's a lot about schools and daycare and childcare and what have you. But there's information there about cancellations of other events as well. Also, too, you can get the very latest obituary notices on that Facebook page as well, delivered straight to your feed if you want as well. All the obituary notices and all the information and streaming information is there, and it's reliable. Just in case you ever get caught out by any scams by sick people trying to make you pay to watch your funeral or what have you, you can trust us, Highland Radio News, Sport and Obituaries. It's your one-stop shop there on social media. Okay, let's go to some of the newspapers this morning. We'll start with the Finn Valley Voice. And some years ago, then-Councillor Alice Boner of Stranorlar spearheaded a campaign against the addition of fluoride to our Loch Mourne drinking water. Fluoride has been added to Irish drinking water for over 50 years to combat tooth decay in children. But Councillor Boner has concerns that fluoride, then added to drinking water as industrial waste, contains fluoride, is a dangerous poison associated with osteosclerosis, classification of tendons and ligaments, reduced IQ in children, and more recently as a possible cause of cancer. What I'd suggest you do, enjoy reading that article, but also source information from other resources as well as it relates to fluoride and its potential negatives and also its potential positives. The Irish Times this morning, Meta to abandon third-party fact-checking. I was mentioning Facebook there as a resource for you, and also Instagram is under Meta's control. And it's been a funny old social media, Meta, because it's been very tightly regulated in terms of what can be put on it and what have you. Those things are about to change to some extent, certainly in America first, but across the world if they get their way thereafter. Meta is to shut down its third-party fact-checking program, moving to the so-called Community Notes model, flavoured by rival platform X, and will lift restrictions it had previously imposed on some topics on its platform. The company said it would begin implementing the new programme in the United States over the next few months. Under the new rules, users of Facebook, Instagram and Threads will be able to flag posts that are potentially misleading and need more context. Responses will require agreement between people with a range of perspectives to help prevent biased ratings, Meta said. So just to give you an example, and I'm sure you're quite aware, say, for instance, during the COVID pandemic, for an example, governments had an awful lot of control over Meta, and anything that would have sort of suggested alternatives to vaccination, or indeed the motivation for governments taking the pandemic so seriously, as an example, would have been flagged immediately. You would have been banned from the platform. There are other examples as well. Donald Trump was banned from the platform, and other political other political people with different points of views to the mainstream, in inverted commas. Often, the more right-leaning the feelings or the opinions are, the less likely you were to see it on Facebook. Facebook also reduced the amount of news that you see, which was a problem for news organizations. They changed their algorithms that you saw more cats and dogs and people playing in snow and that type of stuff, rather than news stories, because they thought people didn't want to get news on their platforms. They're changing that as well. The community notes thing is interesting. I've seen how it performs on X. It's if people take an interest in the post, but what it means is that if I make a claim, it's not banned or blocked immediately, but someone might write a note disagreeing with what I've said, and then other people with different points of view, and how they gather that information, it's still not clear. Other people with different points of view then will have to agree before it's a note is attached to it. So the post would remain, but a context note would be attached to it. So maybe it'll work well, I don't know. Free expression is a big deal in the United States, and what Meta have said effectively is that the US government were trying to control what it was saying, and they were seeing more and more in Europe governments trying to control the content that was on the Meta social media platforms, which I don't think is a good thing. I don't think we need that level of overreach. But it remains to be seen if it then becomes like a very toxic place of conflict, which is possible as well, but maybe that's just the way things need to go. I don't know. But what do you think about that? Will you be glad to see less censorship on it's more complicated in Europe because we're very heavily censored in Europe compared to the United States. That is a significant problem. We are heavily censored here in what we can say and our views and the consequences of that. But just interested, as most of you are social media users, will you be glad to see more news on your feed on Facebook? Will you be glad to see more differences of opinion, different takes on different things? And would you be inclined to sort of welcome the community notes so a post remains, but maybe a clarification? Maybe a clarification can be written underneath it. Now, some of you messaging in about our FM signal at the moment, there is a slight technical issue that our tech teams are working on. They're flat on it now at the moment. So in terms of listening to us on your wireless, in FM, on FM, in some areas, there is an issue. We're working hard to resolve that. Hopefully you can hear us where you are. If not, you can obviously watch the show on our social medias or listen on your smart speaker. That's never affected. The Irish Independent this morning, a detailed analysis of takeaway and food delivery orders made in the summer of 2022 has played a key role in the investigation into the suspected murder of Kyran Dernan. The data search was carried out by the Digital Investigation Unit based at Drogheda Garda Station, and a source said that this, among several other factors, pointed to Kyran no longer being there. It's understood investigators were able to establish regular patterns of food orders and deliveries at certain times in the summer of 2022. And if you just for a moment imagine how horrific that is that they're looking through food and fast food takeaway receipts, and at some point, something that we Kyran would have had bought for him is no longer on that list. It's so cold. What Gardaí have discovered is that at a certain date, there was one less meal contained in almost daily food order made to a number of takeaways in the County Louth towns of Drogheda and Dundalk, which is just to carry on after that. I don't know. You can only say so much. The Irish Daily Mirror Mail this morning. Motorists should not be able to drive away from NCT centres if their vehicles are deemed dangerous, campaigners have urged. The number of dangerously defective cars on the roads has reached a record level. So these are cars that haven't just failed because there's a light off your number plate or something like that. They've been classed as dangerous. And what happens is motorists are still getting into the cars and driving off. How many of them last year? Well, 128,000 vehicles were classified as failed dangerous after an NCT test. This is the highest level of unroadworthy cars detected in recent years, with the proportion of failed dangerous vehicles having grown annually from a low of 4.9% in 2020 to 7.42% last year. And some motorists simply drive these faulty cars away after you fail the NCT. So what's your views on that? So if you do get a fail, fail dangerous from the NCT centre, do you believe that your car should be withheld from you, or you have to tow it away, or do you believe that as can happen now, that you should be able to drive the car away? Any views on that, let us know. Simon Harris is having to do a little bit of backtracking. You always have to be careful what you say. You have to be really sure of what you say because people keep receipts, right? Everything you say is often recorded or written down or remembered. He called Donald Trump an awful gowl. And apparently this is a light-hearted Irish way of saying things. So maybe it is. I don't know. Taoiseach Simon Harris, he's defended referring to Donald Trump as an awful gowl in what he described as a light-hearted radio interview. The 78-year-old Republican will be inaugurated for his second term as US president again later this month following an election victory in late 2024. He was first elected in 2016. His re-election bid in 2020 was unsuccessful when he lost out to now outgoing President Joe Biden. At the time, Mr. Harris said he was willing to call Mr. Trump an awful gowl, which is Irish slang for someone who is annoying or stupid. Mr. Harris made the remark during an October 2020 interview on the youth-orientated 2FM breakfast radio program while he was Minister for Further Education. Asked yesterday if he still believed Mr. Trump was an awful gowl, Mr. Harris said the interview had been referenced many times in the interviewing years or intervening years. He added, "I welcome the opportunity to comment on it. I think if anyone listens back to the clip, let's describe it as light-hearted radio program." Mr. Harris added that Mr. Trump had now won the 2024 election and added, "It's an Irish phrase. It was said in a light-hearted manner." So is someone calling someone an owl gowl or an awful gowl, a bit of crack, light-hearted, not meant to be offended. But as I say, you always have to be careful what you say because, as I say, people keep receipts. Excuse me, please. The Sun this morning, customs officers seized a staggering €250 million worth of drugs in 2024. Among the crime gangs targeted by revenue were members of the Family Mob and the Kinahan Cartel. The investigators, who worked closely with the Garda National Drugs and Organised Crime Bureau, have targeted Eastern European crime gangs trying to flood Ireland with illegal drugs. Now, the one thing I would say on this, talking about tip of the iceberg, a lot of this stuff actually is found in airports. You know, we get the emails through from Angada Síochána, and some Egypt's landed at Dublin Airport in a container or even as a passenger on a plane or a boat and are found with these drugs. When you look at our coastline and you look at a random €2.5 million worth of drugs just washing up in Donegal, €250 million worth of drugs surely is the tip of the iceberg. And it makes you wonder how prevalent drug use must be in this country. I think we know, don't we? It's massive. And finally, the Irish Daily Mirror. We were talking about Garda activity over the Christmas and what they were doing and detections. That was towards the end of last week. A lot of people felt the brunt of Garda operations, be it through checkpoints or mobile speed cameras or static ones for that matter. 13,000 drivers were caught speeding in the Garda Christmas road safety campaign. Officers also confirmed the worst offender was a motorist recorded at 213 kilometres per hour in a 100 kilometre per hour zone on the N7 in County Dublin. Several motorists were found travelling more than twice the maximum speed limit in built-up areas with speed limits of 50 kilometres per hour. Speaking to reporters on the R445 between Limerick City and Barratty, County Clare, Superintendent Liam Garrity said ignoring the speed limit can have devastating consequences. So the Christmas campaign, 13,000 drivers were caught speeding as part of that Garda Christmas road safety campaign. So I couldn't say nothing is being done. That's 13,000 fines there. And I'm joined in studio by Thomas Downing, who's head of Department of Computing at the ATU, the Atlantic University, Donegal. Good morning to you. Thanks so much, Thomas, for calling up.
Good morning.
How are you keeping?
I'm very well, Greg. Thanks
good
very
stuff.
Much.
It's good to have you with us. Now, as I mentioned there, running through the newspapers, Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Meta, he's announced that Facebook, Instagram and Threads, they're going to roll back some of their censorship policies to become a free speech platform. We've seen, I suppose, what has become of Twitter under Elon Musk's rule. It's now X, of course. What do you think about this decision, Thomas? Is pushing back against the woke agenda, to paraphrase him?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that Zuckerberg has any obvious politics at all, other than the advancement of his company. I think he's simply reflecting the fact that in 2016, people probably thought Trump's election was an anomaly. He was happy to get on board with restricting what you could put on Meta. Trump won the recent election pretty convincingly, and I think he's simply reading the mood and deciding that the rise of Trump's supporters is a long-term trend. It's not going anywhere, and he's simply getting behind that. And you can see that by the fact that he has appointed Trump supporters to the board of Meta.
The fellow that heads up the MMA.
Rogan and the Lady White from the Wrestling Federation.
Dana White, have both
joined the board of Meta. So, you know, I think he's simply getting on board with the fact that Trump may be gone in 4 years, but kind of the movement, I guess, that he has created isn't going anywhere, and he's simply reflecting that.
I've backed off from X, and it's not because I'm a snowflake, and I hate using these phrases, but the words that are being used to describe people's actions in these spaces, I just find it very Americanized. I think it's really, even though I've restricted how many Elon Musk posts I see, I'm still being pushed the same level of posts of his. As I say, it's very right versus left. It seems very politicized, and I just don't enjoy that space any longer. I also find that it used to be great if there were breaking news. It used to be a fantastic source of news that you could go and find out what's happening long before you could have on mainstream media. It's not like that anymore because there's so much stuff on it. I don't have the time to wade through what's true and what's not true and all that kind of stuff. Is that the way Meta's going to go, though, with a community notes system? Because I noticed he's using the same phraseology, like referring to mainstream media. Now it's legacy media, which to effectively it's having a dig at it, right? So do you think we could find Facebook and Meta as a whole becoming as toxic as X is right now?
I think it depends entirely on what the political mood is. I think Zuckerberg will reflect the political mood. If the political mood is to have a conflict, controversy-driven platform, that is what Zuckerberg will ensure it is, because the guy is all about the success of the business. And, you know, he's fantastically rich. Who am I to criticize him? But the issue, I think, for advertisers is that it was not that big a deal to leave X. To also leave Meta, you know, where are you advertising? And I think that's possibly the calculation that Zuckerberg is making, which is that if more and more of the social media platforms are going to adopt this type of policy, the advertisers have to advertise somewhere, and they're basically going to stay with you, even if they're not very happy. Mm. Also, I think the mood of the times is simply that shall we say, more right-wing agendas on the march back in the 70s and 80s when I was a young lad. Kind of probably the left-wing agenda was more prominent. Now things have flipped around.
See, the way I would see it, there was a period of time, and I think it all coincides with the timeline we're talking now, is where everything got incredibly liberal, right? And it went too far for centrist people. So I don't necessarily think it's the march of the right. I think it's more of a recentering that's happening at the moment. Now, that's excluding some of the very toxic conversation that's happening about certain issues, don't get me wrong. But I do think your average Joe and Josephine, things went too far. And I think maybe this is more of moving back to the centre rather than the extreme left.
Well, I suppose it depends your point of view. I mean, I probably would consider myself to be liberal. My view would be you should, by and large, be allowed to live your life as you wish, as long as you're not harming other people.
Well, see, but that is exactly the crux of it, right? It's about competing rights in a lot of the areas that we're talking about. And that's where it gets complicated.
Yeah, from my point of view, my worldview would be that liberals want to be allowed to do what they want to do, and they don't mind what conservatives do, whereas conservatives want to be able to tell people what to do. Now, I know that's a very controversial worldview, but that would be my worldview.
It's your opinion, and I love people's opinions, Thomas, so that's perfectly fine. And many people agree, and some will disagree, and we can have a lovely discourse to figure it all out. Fact checkers, they're getting rid of fact checkers. A lot of people may not have been aware of them. These were sort of independent and inverted commas people that came in and determined whether posts should be banned or not. Mark Zuckerberg accused them of being politically biased, an accusation that they've roundly rejected. But he was gung-ho in his language, and I think even stating that the independent fact-checkers had a political bias showed a hardening of his language.
Yeah, but how independent were the fact-checkers?
We don't know.
He hired the fact-checkers. Mm. I mean, he hired these companies. He gave these companies the contracts. The companies were beholden to Zuckerberg for their business. To now turn around and attack the fact-checkers as saying that they did not reflect what Meta wanted is spectacularly hypocritical. And you can see the way that Zuckerberg is aligning himself politically. Because one of the things that he said is that he's going to work with Trump to fight censorship worldwide. Now, what I think is well understood is what he means there is he is going to work with the Trump administration to fight regulation in the European Union. So he's taking a very particular worldview. But I think it's really spectacular to accuse the companies that he gave the contracts to of not representing what Meta wanted. I don't know how you can stand over that.
It is kind of interesting, too, in that we had, over the course of the last year or two, the massive conversation about hate speech laws and what have you. And an awful lot of the pushback in that conversation did come from the United States. We know that Elon Musk and his friends at X were very negative towards Ireland. We can only presume that Mark Zuckerberg now would hold the same views that, you know, they don't want to see, and they own all the marbles, let's face it, in social media. They don't want to see governments and states overreaching in terms of people's right to express themselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact-checkers were costing Meta a lot of money. I mean, they had to pay them a lot of money to do the job that they did. So immediately Zuckerberg has increased his profit margins by getting rid of a significant cost. I say, it's not obvious to me that Zuckerberg has any real views on this. If Kamala Harris had been elected,
We
wouldn't be having this conversation. Okay. Zuckerberg is going with whoever is in the White House. If you see a liberal, more centrist, Democrat-led government in America in 4 years' time, I would guarantee you that Zuckerberg will do a 180-degree handbrake turn and we'll be back in favour of, it hasn't worked very well, we'd better bring back the fact-checkers.
What do you think about his comments about having more news on people's walls? He was of the view that he claimed that his users didn't want as much news. And he was in a battle with news organisations and all that type of stuff, which really I think was why he pulled back on the news. What do you think about people? Do you think there'll be a big appetite on Facebook for more news on the feed?
Well, there was two issues there. You're right. I think partly it was the battle with the news organisations who want to monetize the fact that they're being accessed through Meta and that. And we saw that in Australia in kind of quite spectacular form. But also the problem was that the algorithms were self-reinforcing. Mm. So you weren't getting the news in the broadest sense of the word. You were getting the news that was a kind of a reinforcement of the news you'd previously looked at. And that was widely credited with people kind of disappearing down sort of political rabbit holes of various points of view, because they would read two or three articles that have a particular slant. Meta's algorithm was looking at that and going, okay, that's the slant they're interested in. It then presented more articles. And within 6 months, somebody had gone from being a centrist to a person who was living in an echo chamber where they were only getting one type of viewpoint, mm-hmm. because that was what the algorithm was pushing onto them. So I don't think the problem was news per se. The problem was the self-reinforcing aspect of the news that was happening through the algorithms.
Yeah. So what do you think the future of social media is? I mean, it's always fluid. It always has been fluid. People will remember Bebo and Friends Reunited and all other manners of social media that went out of favour. I just wonder if, as clever as Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk clearly are, if they really, really know what the majority of people want from the social media. Firstly, I'm not interested in this much American stuff that's on it, and I just wonder if Mark Zuckerberg's changes will mean I'm even more exposed to that kind of stuff. And also, too, for me, a lot of the time, it's to take a break from the realities of life and the news, in inverted commas. So I'm not really quite sure where I'm going to go for fun. I'm just going to spend more time on TikTok, perhaps. Yeah.
Well, I think Zuckerberg is different from Musk. I mean, Musk is politically driven, and he was prepared to take a huge financial hit to turn Twitter X into the creation that he wanted it to be. I don't think Zuckerberg has that kind of inflexibility. He will change to suit the mood of the users. If the mood of the users changes over time, Zuckerberg will change Meta. Having said that, though, it's very difficult to get away from the fact that there are a huge number of platforms out there that are probably slicing away over time at Meta's core audience as Meta becomes perceived as kind of something that older people use. I mean, my kids don't look at Meta at all.
It was remarkable. We did a we were at a school recently, and I was able to ask, I think it was upwards of 60 or 70 younger people, do they consume anything on Facebook at all? And the answer was no, or Instagram for that matter.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose, it's like the older political parties. If you look at the elections, older people vote for them. They're still winning elections. What will happen in the future? Mm. We don't know. But certainly things are changing, and I would say the same for us. I mean, I have a Facebook account. I don't use it very much. I've left Twitter, X, and I use LinkedIn professionally. But certainly I would not tend to use social media as much as I used to.
I think there's just finally, Thomas, and I'll let you go after this. I just wonder where we are going to go, and I'm fascinated to see where we're going to go, in that I'm sitting in opposite you, right? I'm listening to you. I can see you. I know who you are. But the lines between truth and non-truth on social media are blurring all of the time. AI is all, and this is only the stuff regular users are at the moment. It's going to increase dramatically through 2025. AI is such now that it can present videos, mm-hmm. audio, pictures that really are, it's very hard to determine whether they're real or not. You know, and if we're seeing less regulation in that space and all of that, I think by the end of 2025, I'm not going to be able to pretty much trust an awful lot of what I see, read or hear on social media. And that's going to push me back into the more sort of real spaces. I'm not saying I'm your average user, right? But there's an awful lot of stuff on there now.
Well, my twins are 15 years old, and myself and my wife spend a lot of time telling them, do not look at any one source of data. You have to look at a wide range of sources of data, and you have to look at the quality of the data. I know the mainstream media is getting an awful lot of stick, but the issue with the mainstream media, to my mind, is not about censorship. It is about the fact that they have to maintain credibility. For the average internet content provider, there is very little requirement on them to maintain credibility. The users don't expect them to be a credible news source. And to my mind, I would hope that the mainstream media remains a powerful source of information, because even if they're left or right or centrist, they still have to fundamentally present something, a version of the truth that is at least supported by evidence.
Mm.
So you can believe something that's very left-wing or believe something that's very right-wing, but you at least have to present some sort of evidence that you can stand over to support that belief. There is no requirement at all for that on the internet. Mm. And for that reason, I would hope that we take time to educate younger people and, frankly, older people as well, to understand the difference between mainstream media and simply somebody talking on the internet.
It is remarkable, because, you know, you do observe, and I'm sure I'm guilty of it too, you do observe leaders on social media, particularly X, who say something and then it daisy chains, and you can see all the same people of the same political mind, free thinkers, they'd imagine, parroting the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Exact same thing. We saw it with the weather recently. Yeah. For some reason, the weather forecasts became an issue for a certain amount of people. Yeah. And it became this big thing, and all of the accounts that you would expect to see commenting on it started commenting on it. I have no issue with that, by the way. I'm not calling it out. But, you know, like,
but it's where,
is the where is the diversity in opinion? Where is the checking alternative sources of information? Yeah. Anyway, Fascinating times, Thomas. Perhaps scary times. I don't know what to say. We're going to 2025 is going to be a big one for artificial intelligence, and more so its integration into our lives. It's very big in business at the moment, but I know that, like, the likes of Google Assistant, they're going to merge that with Gemini this year, and loads of other things as well. Fascinating times, Thomas. As head of Department of Computing, you're having to keep up to date all of the time.
The AI one is very interesting. I don't feel as scared of it as other people do. I think we have a shrinking productive workforce. We have an aging population. Our workforce needs to become significantly more productive if we're going to be able to maintain our current standards of living, much less improve them. And I see AI as a powerful tool to make people more productive, to make our society richer. There will be winners and losers, but there was winners and losers out of the internet in the 90s. There's been winners and losers all through the Industrial Revolution. Every major change that has come, there's been winners and losers. I think the objective is for there to be more winners than losers, and for society and for government policy to support the people who feel they're losing, so that basically they're not wiped out, that they have a path to get past the difficulties that they're in.
I talked on this program 18 months ago about an AI bubble, which I'm still not convinced doesn't exist and is yet to burst, especially when you see the direction the likes of NVIDIA is going. But anyway, it's all very interesting. We'll keep a close eye on it. Thomas, it's been lovely having you up. Thank you so very much. That's Thomas Dowling, Head of Department of Computing, Atlantic Technological University here in Donegal. Hi, Greg. I think that the left have just gone too far in the US and UK, and that's why the pushback. Ireland, as usual, is years behind them both, and we can see what happened there, and that's why people here are objecting now to what we see is a repeat of the US-UK. People are all for everyone being treated decently, but when you push too far and insist on forced language in schools or work, for an example, or the loss of women's and girls' privacy in sports or changing rooms, then, like the people in the US, they eventually speak up. And that perhaps is a good example of there was a period of time whereby everything went, and the public were like, okay, and then they went, no. And I just in relation to that, and I have looked through the school curriculum, a lot of the curriculum that's to be introduced over the next while, or has been introduced, was formulated during those times. And I just hope we double check it, that it's right and it's good for all children, regardless. That would just be one thing I think we should be very sure of. Give people the credit for discerning, meaning online for themselves. People aren't stupid. It's patronising to assume otherwise. ReFB about turn. Does that mean we're now back to two genders, says a listener? I think you're back to a point where you could say that without being banned, because that would have been something you could have been banned for if you had said. So Highland Radio, woke left now, seems like it. Really don't understand where you're getting that from. But anyway, that's your view, and I respect it. The war on a decade of woke has begun and will be won following Facebook's incredible U-turn. Will media outlets like RTE and Highland drop their promotion of the destructive LGBT plus ideology and for mostly the agenda to sexualize young children? That's apparently I'm complicit in that, or Highland is. Wasn't aware of that. In the next decade, let's focus on society's bread and butter concerns and the global upheaval that's coming down the track. That comes in from Jim. And Charlie also on Facebook, what mainstream media is he on about? All the mainstream media and local media in Ireland, which I presume he includes us, report the government line. Okay, that's interesting. An interesting angle. I know some in government would strongly disagree with you, Charlie, but thank you very much for that. Right, Roisin Given is with me now. Hi, Roisin.
Hi, it's Gillen.
What did I say? Given? All right. Well, listen, yeah. I'm sorry. It's just the way it's written in front of me. My apologies,
Roisin.
That's
okay. It's Gillen.
Okay. Roisin Gillen. Let's try that again. That was just a test. We're live now. Right. Okay. You've just answered. And Roisin is the lady behind Pretty Baked Bakery. Now, you had an awful day on Sunday, and it's great, I think, Roisin, that you're putting that awful day out there to help other people. I think it's really remarkable. What happened to you?
Thank you very much, Greg. I'll just tell you what happened. So basically, a few days ago, I received the government-funded 125 electricity credit to my account. And then on Sunday morning, I received a text message claiming to be gov.ie mentioning similar funding for this year that I could apply for. Now, I never reply to those type of messages, and I'm so vigilant about unknown numbers and texts on my phone. But because the electricity credit was so fresh in my mind, it just didn't really click with me not to trust it. And my first thought was that the government were really on the ball with electricity credit this year. But anyway, I clicked the link and it brought me to what looked exactly like the gov.ie website. And then it took me to a bank login. Everything looked completely legit until I put in my details. And the, do you know the little like loading icon that comes up on the screen? That yeah. looked different. That was the only thing that I noticed that looked different.
Right.
So I immediately closed it all, went onto my bank, froze all my cards, and then I just panicked. And about 30 minutes later, I got a call from a private number, which again, I never answer, but I was out for a walk to just kind of calm down. And when I took my earphones out, they answered the call. And I was going to hang up, but I heard him say, AIB, so I decided to speak.
So just before we continue with that conversation,
yeah.
at this point, Roisin, were you able to check accounts to determine if anything had been taken out at that point?
Or yeah, so I logged in and froze my cards, and then every kind of couple of minutes, I would log in and just double-check okay. that the money was there. And everything looked, for about 20 minutes, everything looked okay. Mm-hmm. So then I got the call, and he gave me the whole spiel, told me he was from AIB, the calls may be recorded for training purposes, the whole works. He then asked me if I had received or answered any text messages that morning, as my account was flagged on their side, and he confirmed it had been hacked. So he then explained, I told him that I did answer a message, and I said I'm worried that it was hacked. So he explained to me that they needed to secure the system and told me he would need some details. Mm. So I said to him, I'm not giving him any details on the phone. And he told me that I would have to because my account has been hacked and they needed to act fast. So I said I didn't trust that it was from the bank. He asked me how do you want me to prove it to you? And I said, well, that's a huge red flag right there, because I said banks will never call you, and they will especially won't call you on a Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Mm. So I told him that I was going to hang up on him and I was going to call the AIB back myself to sort this out. So then when I got off the phone, I checked my online banking again and everything was gone. My personal, my savings and my business were completely emptied. And honestly, I can't really describe that sinking feeling of everything just being gone, you know. So I rang AIB. And they were amazing. They helped me to locate where my money had been sent to. And I have since been in touch with those accounts. And I've started the process of retrieving most of my funds. So the bank then explained to me how the scam works. And what they do is they will get basic access to your account through the text message. So then what they will do is they will transfer your money to saved payees already on your account. Mm. Because for them to be able to transfer your money to their account, that's when they have to call you to get more information. So when you look at your account, it shows zero, and naturally you panic. But they haven't actually taken the money at that point. They've just sent it to other accounts. So
I think the banks call that a ghost payment, don't they?
What's that, sorry?
I think they call that a ghost payment, where it appears to be gone from your account, but
yes,
there's still a very small window of time, potentially.
Yes, that is it, exactly. So they, and you know what, like, you're in such a panic state that when they call you and they give you the whole spiel, it's so easy to believe it, you know, because that guy on the phone was really nice to me, like, only for the fact that I just, you know, obviously I didn't trust it. So anyway, when they call you, they'll tell you to get your card and your card reader. So that what they do is they set themselves up as a payee on your account, and then they take all that money, the ghost money, as you said, they take all of that back and then they send it to their account permanently. So that's how they
did you, but your intervention at the phone call, your when your defences kicked in on the phone call, that prevented them from transferring the funds to their own accounts. Is that a saving grace in this, Roisin?
Oh, big time, yeah. I'm very, to be honest with you, like, if I would have looked at my account and seen all the money gone before they called me, I could have very easily fallen for it because I was so panicked, you know. But because I kept checking it and the money was still in there, and then they called, I wasn't as panicked as I could have been, you know what I mean? So I do think that helped me a lot in it. And I'm very lucky that I should be able to receive all of my money back. But the banks, they advised that I warn the accounts that the money were sent to, that maybe they could be contacted by the scammers, then claiming to be me with a new IBAN in hopes that when those people go to send the money back to me,
that must be part of the scam. That must be part of the scam, because there's no point them sending it to your away out of your account into other people's accounts, unless they've got a backup plan then to get it from those accounts, as you say, calling them and saying, oh, I accidentally transferred such and such to you. Could you send it back to me? Here's my IBAN. So it's an inconvenience. It's a kick in the teeth. It's feelings and pride hurt, I'm sure. But at the end of the day, Roisin, it looks like you're going to get the majority. You won't get your time back and the stress back, but it looks like you're going to get the majority, if not all of your funds back.
Yeah. I'm very lucky that, you know, the bank were really, really helpful. And I jumped on it as quick as I could. It was a very, pretty terrifying ordeal. And, you know, like you said, it's so hard with scams because you feel so embarrassed and foolish that you fell for it and that it's happened.
Well, not at all.
And
they're professionals at what they do, Roisin. They're absolute professionals.
They really are.
And the timings,
really
the timing, there's no coincidence. And they've created this website that looks to all intents and purposes like the government website. It's just a reminder,
really,
because you
really
are one
is.
Of these people that's incredibly cautious. So the message here is if Roisin can get caught out, any of us can get caught out, because you're known for being careful in areas like this. And that's why I think it's so important that you're on sharing this info, Roisin. I think it's a great thing that you're doing.
Thank you. Well, you know, I didn't want to. I wasn't going to post about it or anything, but it's, I agree with what you said. You know what, like, if it could happen to me, it could really happen to anyone. And they're so genuine on the phone that if you are so panicked, then you would just give it to them. But as the banks have told me, the banks will never, ever call you, and they will never ask for card details over the phone. And even if you do get a call and if you do answer a call that says it's from your bank, then just ask for their name and tell them you'll call the bank back. Always call the bank back and never trust that the bank are calling you.
All right. And where did they get your number? Sorry, is that clear?
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay. Right.
I've been getting, I get scam calls and texts quite frequently, especially with Ampus. There's a lot of, post-related scam text messages that go around as well. So there's just a lot to seem to have to look out for.
All right, now let's go down to Donegal Town and Pretty Baked Bakery so people can go in and support your great business and just ease you over these times until you get all your money back. You're in the Milk Up Muse there in Donegal Town, aren't you? I used to work in there when Northwest Radio had an office. So I think that's actually where they're done.
Oh, no way.
Blue Poppy, the actual entrance to Blue Poppy was the satellite station, believe it or not, for Northwest Radio back in the day. I know, things have changed now.
It's a lovely spot. It's a lovely spot.
Although that being said, broadcasting down there sometimes was like pulling teeth. So, and where are you located? And when are you open, Roisin, so people can go in and visit you?
Yeah, so my bakery is open on a Friday and Saturday. So a Friday from 8:30 and Saturdays from 9:30. And I'm just open until I sell out, which is usually around kind of 2:30. And I am inside the Millcourt Mews. So when you walk down that little alley between the bank and the shoe shop, I'm just in the little building in there. So that's my little
day. Roisin Gillen, thank you so very much. I really do appreciate you helping us get the message out, and continued success with your great business as well. Have a lovely day.
Thank you so much.
Some of your comments coming in this morning, and thank you so much for keeping us so busy. Trying to put old cars off the road, but people in more departments and what the NCT mark is dangerous is a joke. So if they're not allowed to drive them away from the test centre, it'll cost us another €150 at least. That's exactly why I asked the question, because there's people out there who know much more about this than I. What's the legality of cyclists on the road? If they block the road, do they have to move to allow traffic to pass them? Can they cycle two abreast? I believe they can, you know. We'll double check the rules in relation to that, because it's come in a couple of times over the last day or two. Why do schools not give a big bill for the leaving cert? Every second week it's 20 for this, 50 for that. It must be £400 when all added up. Free schooling? I think not. So this is, and I know that, and I thought it was behind me, but it's going to be happening again. These are the bills that you get, and transition year is a nightmare for cost, and then you head into the leaving cert, and every turn, as the listener quite rightly points out, it's another chunk of cash. Dookery Village is bad with black ice, especially from the Fintan side, I've been asked to pass on. The nursing home in Remelton used to bring in elderly people one day a week for a hot meal and to socialise. This service has been suspended. They used to be collected on a minibus. This service is a great loss to the community. It stopped a few months ago. Why? Well, let me check into that for you. You're tuned to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio.